Telecom in the U.S. is trying to lock down networks, renegotiate video economics, and modernize 911, while the FCC rewrites the rules. The question is whether operators can secure gear, keep leverage in carriage talks, and meet NG911 obligations without blowing budgets.
Start with security. In late March, the FCC barred new foreign-made Wi-Fi routers from being approved for sale in the U.S., citing recent attacks. Volt, Flex, and Salt Typhoon. Existing devices and already approved SKUs can stay on shelves, and vendors can provide firmware and security updates through March 1, 2027.
That hits supply chains immediately. TP-Link, which holds about 65% of the U.S. consumer and small business router market, said it welcomes this evaluation. And Netgear emphasized its security-first design. But there's no broadly U.S.-made consumer router, aside from Starlink units assembled in Texas for that service.
Critics say a new approvals ban won't cure the core problem. The EFF's Thorin Klosowski points to unpatched gear and poor end-of-life notices. Bitdefender's Bogdan Botezatu says the installed base will remain in use for years, so any gains will be gradual at best.
The FCC left a path. DoD and DHS can grant conditional approvals, and Ookla's Mike Tano expects many vendors will pursue waivers. That matters because Comcast and Charter are pushing Wi-Fi 7 alongside DOCSIS 4.0, just as MSOs and ISPs refresh CPE. More waivers mean smoother rollouts. Fewer waivers mean SKU churn, delays, and higher costs for retailers and operators that subsidize gateways.
Bargaining power near-term shifts toward operators with integrated gateways they control end-to-end. If vendors can't secure waivers at scale, that improves security oversight, but it raises CapEx and support burdens. The money moves from off-the-shelf routers to operator-managed CPE.
How to de-risk? Line up multi-vendor CPE, lock contractual firmware update commitments, and map lead times against Wi-Fi 7 phases. Watch waiver throughput now through March 1, 2027. That's the gating factor for new models.
On to media consolidation. A federal judge issued a temporary restraining and hold separate order on the Nexstar-Tegna deal. Pre-merger, Nexstar had 201 full-power stations and Tegna 64. The order requires Tegna to operate independently. Separate management, control over retransmission negotiations, newsroom personnel, programming, and ad sales, and to maintain pre-merger staff levels.
DirecTV's antitrust claim is specific. In 31 overlapping markets, a combined firm would gain leverage in retrans talks, increasing blackout risks. Deadlines are tight. Nexstar must justify why a preliminary injunction shouldn't issue by April 1st, file a compliance report by April 6th, with a hearing set for April 7th.
Yet the FCC's Media Bureau approved WJX-TV's license transfer to Cox in Jacksonville, denying DirecTV's petition. The Bureau leaned on the Zimmer Radio ruling that voided the old top four prohibition. So in that market, owning two affiliates is legal. Mixed signals. Courts are pressing on market power, while the FCC applies updated ownership rules locally.
A judge also cited 16 markets with big four duopolies or triopolies sharing a single newsroom. And Reuters reports senators are questioning the FCC chair over the Nexstar-Tegna path. For distributors and vMVPDs, the bargaining math hardens even before any merger closes. Expect higher retrans costs and blackout exposure from April through Q3 if consolidation advances.
Layer in live sports. Broadcasters like Fox and Sinclair told the FCC that moving games behind paywalled streaming under the 1961 Sports Broadcasting Act's antitrust exemption hurts consumers and stations. Fox warned that making paywalled streaming the default could have devastating consequences.
If blackouts spread and sports fragment, churn rises. Video margins get hit while usage shifts onto broadband. Good for data ARPUs, bad for video. And paywalled sports complicates free-to-air access narratives some policymakers care about. Consultants should stress test scenarios where blackout cycles extend and rights fragment further during ongoing rights cycles in 2026.
Third theme, public safety and FCC modernization. The FCC is close to finalizing expanded NG911 reliability rules. The big shift is enlarging who counts as a covered 911 service provider to include IP-era functions, location information servers, legacy network gateways that convert TDM to SIP, major SIP transport links of OC3 or higher carrying 911 traffic, IP aggregation facilities, and ESINet interconnection facilities.
Providers would need reasonable measures: physical diversity, expanded network monitoring, including routers, LIS, and LNGs, and backup power designed for IP environments. There's an interstate piece too: annual conformance testing with at least 2 ESINets in other states, plus annual certifications. State 911 authorities would gain access to certifications.
Pushback is real. Many commenters say interstate testing is premature. Engineering physical diversity on OC-level links and multi-state testing adds cost. Smaller vendors and rural PSAPs could be squeezed. The proposal includes a remedial pathway, notices of deficiency, a 30-day response window, and corrective orders, not instant fines.
The opportunity is clear for NG911 vendors, cloud telephony, and IP transport providers if they can certify interoperability and deliver physical path diversity, align roadmaps to presumptive compliance best practices, contract for automatically diverse routes, and get documentation workflows ready. The rule finalization window is this year, and Section 9.19 will define what counts as reasonable measures.
Inside the agency, modernization is moving too. The FCC named Farhan Khan as CIO to drive IT modernization and security. He previously ran a $200 million digital portfolio at FDA with over 400 tech staff, and it's seeking input on drone policy reforms. Chairman Brendan Carr said they're exploring modernized experimental licensing, drone innovation zones, and more spectrum access. Comments are due May 1st, replies May 18th. Since January 2025, the FCC has granted 227 experimental UAS approvals and 8 counter UAS.
The through line: the FCC is shaping security baselines, media bargaining power, and 911 reliability, shifting money toward operator-managed CPE, retrans fees, and NG911 transport and monitoring, and away from off-the-shelf gear and legacy voice.
One big thing to watch: the court's April 7th decision on a preliminary injunction in Nexstar Tegna. It will signal how far consolidation power can stretch in 2026.